All right, but today I want to talk to you about something that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I entitled in this message, Frequency. Someone say frequency. How many of you know what frequency is? Okay, if you don't, you're going to learn today. But I want to talk about this because I still believe that God today is still a speaking God. How many of you believe that? Some people believe that he doesn't speak anymore, that he only spoke in the Old Testament in biblical days, and he no longer speaks, but tell someone that's a lie. He's still a speaking God. And if there's one thing that is clear all through the scripture is that he is a speaking God. If we look in the Bible and in the first three verses, God introduced himself to us by saying, someone say saying, it says this, and God said, let there be light. Amen. Thank you so much. I don't even know what way I'm going to go, but let's give him a hand. These guys did awesome today playing. Amen. He's a speaking God. And he lets us know right off the bat in the Bible, in Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, right? He says, I'm a communicator. I want to communicate with you. How many of you know that talking to each other and communicating with each other, they're two different things, right? If you've been married longer than a year, you know what I'm talking about. I love the commercial where the guy, I don't even know if they play it anymore, but the guy's sitting in the living room and I don't know what he's doing. He's playing TV or something and his wife's talking to him and she's flipping a switch and he's not paying attention and all of a sudden the garage door is going up and down. You guys remember that? He's not listening to what she's saying to him, but he's acting like he's listening to what he's saying to them. Have you ever done that, men? Be honest in here. Come on, I want one honest person. Okay? We call that selective hearing. But God is a God of language. God's a God who conveys his will, not my will, but thine be done, right? Through speech. And it's interesting that we see through the word of God how God's voice, through different stories that we know, has all different kinds of highs and lows. In other words, it has incredible pitch in his voice. We see through the word in the Old Testament when he spoke to Moses on the mountain. The Bible says that the people heard it. Look at someone to say, they heard it. And the Bible says that it sounded to them as of peals of thunder. I grew up in West Texas, and I'm going to tell you what. If you've never been around a Texas thunderstorm, you haven't lived yet. It thunders all the time, and you can hear it coming in. But I'm imagining the voice of God being that triumphant, being that powerful. The Bible says that they were afraid, and they ran from it. But then we see in the Word of God, when God spoke to Elijah, he spoke to him a gentle whisper. Look at someone and say a whisper. The Bible says it was like a soft breeze. John the Baptist described his voice that sounded like 1,000 waterfalls, the voice of many waters. Anyone ever been to Niagara Falls? I've never been there, but I've been to waterfalls before that are raging, but I could not imagine what it would be like being there, hearing the sound of the water falling at Niagara Falls. And then imagining the voice of God. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that every day, at the end of the day, in the cool of the day, it says that, listen, the voice of God. Someone say the voice of God. It was the voice of God that came walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. Read it. It was his voice. And in John 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And I'm getting somewhere with this. Say this with me. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you go down to verse 14 in that, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in other words, God is a communicator. Tell someone he's building something right now. Come on, I'm building here. Here's my main verse today, 1 Samuel 3:3-11. And I want you to capture this story. Imagine this. It says, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, while Samuel was laying down, he was sleeping, the Bible says that the Lord called Samuel and he answered. He says, here I am. In other words, he responded. Someone say he responded. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He said, I did not call you, lay down. Samuel hadn't heard the voice of God to this point, in other words. And he went back and he laid down. Then the Lord called him yet again. Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He responded, right? He answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the voice of the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. So he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived this, that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered. Someone say he responded. "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord responded back and said, "Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. We speak against confusion. I pray that we just receive what you're trying to speak to us today, Lord God. I pray, Father, if there's anything that is cluttering our mind, if there are other voices and things around us, Lord, that are just chaotic and we cannot distinguish your voice today, I pray, Lord, that you just put peace in our minds that passes all understanding, in Jesus' name. Amen. Get that clip ready. Here's what I want you to do, okay? This is a participation sermon. You ready for this? Stand up real quick. You're going to like this. Okay? Just stand up. Now look at your neighbor and say, "You have to be totally honest in this part." In just a minute, with no one talking, we're going to release a sound, okay? And you're going to hear a sound. If you hear the sound, and when you hear the sound, be honest and sit down. If you do not hear the sound, stay standing up. Does that make sense? Go ahead. Do not sit down unless you hear it. Okay, well, you got to turn the volume down a little bit. If you hear it, sit down. If you don't hear it, I'm standing up. I don't hear nothing. Okay? You can turn the lights up. Turn the lights back up. Okay, go ahead and shut it off. Stay standing up. This is crazy. Who did not hear the sound? I did not hear a thing. Nope. Okay, listen. If you're standing up, the reason you're standing up, you ready? It's because you're old like me. Now listen, I just wanted to give you a picker-upper today. You're dismissed. No, I'm kidding. What just happened? You can go ahead and sit down. This is a true thing. What you just heard, that was 17.4 kilowatts. Basically the audio output of a mosquito. Tell someone a mosquito. Okay? It's something called the mosquito teen repellent. Now, isn't it weird how some people heard it, but others did not? If you heard it, lift your hand. I still don't really believe that there's a sound there. My kids swear that there's a sound. My wife does too. But what happened is I played this audio. Certain people heard it. Certain people didn't. But let me tell you where this was developed at. Somewhere in London, England, where they do not speak French. If you were here a few weeks ago, you'll get that. Speak Chinese. No, I'm kidding. Where all the fancy stores were, and this is the posh end of London. Kind of, someone said the bougie. That's the word nowadays. Everything is bougie. Okay? It was the bougie area of England. And they had these amazing stores and jewelry stores, clothing stores, and the clients were extremely wealthy, but they had a problem. The problem was this. The teenagers began to hang out in great populations on the sidewalks in front of these fancy shops. And so the retailers were afraid that it was going to hurt their business. So what he did is he called a man by the name of Howard Stapleton, who he ran a Scottish security firm. And what he did was this. He installed speakers outside of all these buildings. And his goal was to try to run the teenagers off, but to keep the adults who had the money around. And so he turned the sound on, and only the younger people could hear it. See, the older you get, here's the key. you lose certain frequencies along the way. That's why I didn't hear a blessed thing when that thing was played. Meanwhile, the older crowd stayed around with their money, and they shopped oblivious to the sound frequency that was playing while all the teens would leave. But the teens actually flipped this on them. What they did, you know how they say, don't have your phone in school, we don't want, you know. They took and they would make that, teens, don't do this. They took and they made that sound their ringtone. So the teacher wouldn't hear it, but the teenager would. Parents are looking at me like, why did you just tell them something bad to do? No, it's not my story. The point is this, the mosquito teen repellent can only be heard by those, listen, whose hearing has not been damaged or altered. Some of you are getting it already. How many of you know that God created us with an ability to be able to hear the frequency that's on a level that only God can put out? But what we've done, some of us have turned out his voice. Some of us have selective hearing when it comes to things in the spirit. Right? Oh, God wasn't talking to me today. He was talking to them because I know what they're going through. I know how bad of a person they are. I know what they've done. No, God was speaking to you. But you have selective hearing. And some of us only want to hear the good things that God has to say. We love it when God says, I will bless you, or I'll open a door for you, or yes, you may. But how many of us don't like it when God says, no, this isn't the time for you. Not now. Don't do that. Don't go there. Selective hearing. And we come in Sunday after Sunday and life group after life group through midweek, and we allow the things of the world to clutter and to damage our hearing. And when God tries to speak to us, for some of us, it's so hard to even distinguish the difference of his voice and the voice of the world. I had somebody ask me one time, how do you know when God's speaking to you, when the Holy Spirit is speaking? It didn't always come in an audible voice. Did you know that? You might not ever hear the audible voice of God. But if you want to know what God is speaking to you, can I tell you, he spoke it over 2,000 years ago. All you got to do is open your Bible. Every word that you ever need to hear from his mouth is in there. Say, God ain't speaking to me? Well, you ain't reading the word then. That's not his fault. He already spoke. Right? How many of you love hearing from God? There's nothing like it. When you know without a shadow of a doubt that God has spoke to you and this is the right thing to do. God spoke, and I believe it. There's no question or doubt in my mind on the decision I'm about to make. Amen? He's a good God. Tell somebody he's a good God. He wants to communicate with me. But how many of you know the communication goes two ways? Right? Two ways. I like to talk. Sometimes I talk way too much. Right, Riley? She hates when I talk to her on the way to school in the morning because she's so tired. She's like, Dad, please just stop talking. I'm a morning person, and I'm a night person. That's really weird. And in the mornings, I'm just excited to start my day. So sometimes Dad sings songs in the car. Any dads do that? You make up songs, you just have fun. Okay, I like to annoy him a little bit too. That's part of the fun of having children. But I'm a communicator. So communication is a two-way street. Amen? Why? Because you really cannot have a real relationship unless there is true dialogue. How do you get to know a person? You get to know them through communicating and then responding. And how it is with God and our relationship with him is this. He talks to us and we listen and then we respond to what we heard. Amen? And when we talk, can I tell you that he listens? And when he listens, because we spoke it and we said it, we proclaimed it, we declared it, guess what he does? He responds. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because what's he going to respond to if you're not talking? What's he going to respond to if there's no action behind anything you do? But the problem is this. Some of us won't stop talking long enough for God to get any word in. Come on. I have that problem. I'm not going to lie. Not so much with God anymore. I know when to be quiet and when to be patient and still when I'm in my prayers. I haven't quite grasped that in the carnal and in the physical world yet because I like to talk. But how many of you know that you have to give an opportunity for someone else to have a word in there? But we're talking so much, and there's so much chaos going around us in our life and in our mind. And we're constantly going to God with, Lord, help me. Lord, I need this. Lord, can you fix? God knows that, and you have to communicate it to him. But how many of you know, after communication, there comes a point where you stop and you listen and you wait on a response from God? Talking so much that you don't even wait on a response. But see, how you wait on that response makes all the difference. I'm going to wait on my response with excitement and anticipation. Why? Because when I respond to him and I believe in him, I'm believing that what I asked of him is going to happen. Amen. And God can watch that. God sees how you respond to what he says to you and how you act to what he says to you, if you believe in it or if you don't. John 10 and 27 says this. He said, my sheep hear my voice. He says, and I know them, and they follow me. Paul tells us this. He says that we can train our ear to recognize the voice of God above all other noises. He says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's Hebrews 5 and 14. It's by practicing. Tell someone practicing, right? So that we are able to discern, in other words, distinguish, recognize that what we're hearing is either God, our flesh, or the enemy. Have you ever had that problem? It's happened to me quite a few times in my life where I'm saying, God, was this me or was it you? Is this my flesh wanting to do it, or did I really hear your voice, God? Who's ever been there before? Where it's hard to distinguish the difference. And you don't know if it's your emotions, and you don't want to be selfish, and you don't want to cross the line and say, God, I want to do this, Lord, and I feel good about it, but God, is that just me, or is that you really telling me yes? How to distinguish that? And how to be certain of that is for you to get so much in the Word, so much into communication. Now with me and my wife after 20 years, sometimes we don't even have to say a word. We can tell by the look on each other's face what each other is wanting. Anybody? You've been married that long? Or you have kids and you can understand just by their body language or just by how they're looking at you or by one word the direction to go in together. Why? It's because of our relationship. It's because we've been around each other. We communicate with one another. And if you want to be able to distinguish the voice of God in your life and have direction in your life, you have got to stay in direct communication with God. Amen? You can give him praise on that part because that's a good thing. Amen. God has a calling on your life. But that same voice that was in the temple that was talking to Samuel, can I tell you that same voice is in this room today, right now? And he's calling out to you and he's saying, I've got a plan for your life. I've got big things that you need to be doing right now. There is a purpose for why you are there doing what you're doing. And I can hear God just crying out to you saying, I need you. But when are you going to respond to what it is that I'm speaking to you? When are you going to surrender to me? There's a call in your life, but you're so distracted. So distracted. Have you ever been so distracted that you just can't focus in on what you're trying to do? I'm a multitasker. But sometimes it's hard for me. I have 5 children, and when I'm trying to study or I'm trying to do something, and kids are being kids, and they're having fun, and they're making noise, and they're playing, it's hard to study, and I got to go lock myself away in another room. I got to go somewhere else to try to study. Not their fault, right? But I got to get away so I can zone in on what it is I'm trying to do. Have you ever had distractions going on around you, and it's so hard to focus in on what God is trying to get you to do or see? See, that's why you have all these problems around you. The enemy is trying to worry you. He's trying to take your mind off what God is trying to do in your life. And where he's trying to lead you. He's trying to put fear in your life. He's trying to tell you you're not worthy enough. He's going to tell you that you're going to go under. He's going to tell you that it's not going to work out. And what we tend to do in the natural, this is scientific, your mind, out of 10 things in the daytime that you have 9 that are good and 1 that are bad, naturally your mind tends to automatically try to go towards that bad thing first. But we have to retrain our minds. Amen? Build a new groove to how we think. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? And I'm telling you, if you can do that, you won't always go to the negative thing. Because when you go to that negative thing, if you're anything like me, I'll ponder on it, and I'll think about it, and I'll worry about it, and I'll think that it's going to take me, and all of a sudden, I've created this giant monster. They call it creating a mountain out of a what? Out of a molehill. And you may be there today, and you may be faced with a molehill. But to you, it looks like a mountain. Job was so financially blessed in his life. The Bible says how mind-blowing it was. It says that he was actually the wealthiest man in the entire eastern region of the world. He was so blessed by material things. But more than that, he was spiritually blessed. How many of you know that true greatness is not determined by what you possess? Amen? Jesus said that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses, but true greatness is determined by what you possess in your heart, in your spirit, and in your soul. So Job didn't wake up one day and just find himself overwhelmed with material blessings. The Bible talks about how Job made some critical decisions, listen, in his younger years, and this is a very, very important point that you get today. In his younger years, he made some decisions. He recognized that there's two pathways that you can take in life. Matthew 7 tells us. It says the broad path, someone say the broad path. It says the broad path, and many there be that follow the way that leads to destruction. And then there's the narrow way, and few there be that find that path. I believe a pirate wrote this because it sounds like a pirate. The broad path, and many there be that follow the way that leads to destruction. Can I tell you that not everyone's going to go to heaven? There's going to be some good people in hell. Come on. You say, well, I'm a good person. I don't know where you're going to end up. But being a good person will not get you in heaven. Come on. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much you give to the needy. I don't care how many soup kitchens you serve at. I don't care if you're kind to everybody and open the door for everyone. And you've been generous your whole life. Generosity will not get you in heaven. Being nice and smiling will not get you in heaven. Those are all great attributes. But it will not get you in heaven. You can have all those things and smile and give your way all the way into hell. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he that believeth in me, right, shall not perish but have eternal life. If you don't believe in the Father and you have not accepted him in your life, you will not make it to heaven. It's as simple and as hard as that. That is the truth. I believe there are some people that need to rededicate their life to Christ. I believe, this is my belief, is the way I teach, that there can come a point in your life where you walk away from God. I believe that you can give your life to the Lord, but I don't believe, I know I believe in God's grace, but I don't believe that you can give your life to the Lord and then you can walk around and do whatever you want all day long and sin and not even live for God and make it into heaven. Come on. He's a gracious God. He's a gracious Father. But I believe there comes a point in our life where we can walk away from the hand of God. The hand of God doesn't walk away from us. You might not like that, but look at someone and say, I don't care. Because that's the Bible. That's the truth. And the truth will set you free. See, we want to justify it. We want to say, you know what? We have a free ticket to act how we want and do what we want and justify the things that we do so we can be comfortable while we're living here. We have lost our ability to set standards in our lives and in our household. We have justified so many things. Come on, let's be honest. That we have gotten away from the series. That's why when it comes time for church and it comes time to do the right thing, it's so easy to do the wrong thing now. It's so easy to follow the wrong ways. Why? Well, we're used to it now. Everybody's doing it, and if they do it, then it must be okay for me to do it. Whatever happened to "as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? Whatever happened to "I'm going to set some rules and standards for myself first, because if I don't set them for myself, I can't set them for my family. And I'm going to live by those rules." But it's how you respond to God. Two things. And I was thinking about this week. I won't hold you much longer. Two things that will determine what we become in life. Are you ready for them? Our decisions and our response to God. This is important today. Our decisions that we make and our response to God. God gave you free will. The Bible says he will never force his spirit upon you. He says your choices and your decisions are up to you. You choose to serve God or not to serve God. Nobody can make you do it. But you have to understand, listen, while we have the power to make our own choices, can I tell you that our choices also have the power to make us? Job understood that in Ecclesiastes 12:1. He said, remember your creator in the days of your youth. In other words, when you're younger. Why? He says, before the day of trouble comes and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. You know, when you're 18 and you feel like life is just dragging on. Come on. I remember when I was 12 and I would, people say, how old are you? Because I wanted to be 13 so bad. Say, let's 12. I wouldn't even say I'm 12. I would say I'm 12 and a half. Going on 13. Anybody ever do that one? 12 and a half going on 13. Because I wanted people to think I was older than I really was. And when I was 13, I could not wait to be 16, Riley 16. Why? Because then I could drive. I don't know how it is in Maryland here, but growing up it was 16, Florida 16. But when I became 16, I couldn't wait to be 18. Because then I could get out of the house. And I wouldn't have to listen to mama anymore. You will if you have a mama like mine. I'm still listening to her today at 41. But then when I was 18, I couldn't wait to be 25, man. And I knew my insurance was going to drop. And it seemed like that just floated through. And all of a sudden, here comes 30. And next thing you know, you go to sleep and wake up and you're 35. Right? And then a few hours later, you're 41. And I wake up and I say, God, this can't be me. My God, I remember when I was 18, Wade. Like it was yesterday. And it came way too fast. And the age came way too fast. 41. I'm freaking out. It can't be me. I'm not 41. Jesus has got to come sooner. Something's got to stop happening, right? Not me. I'm way too cool. Look at someone and say, I'm way too cool. And say your age to be 41, right? Time flies by so fast. And we have to understand that what you're doing now, and here's the point of this, is that right now, tell someone right now, you are laying the groundwork for your future, for your tomorrow. The decisions you make today and how you respond to God today is laying the groundwork for what will happen tomorrow. How you respond to God determines your tomorrow. So my question is this, how are you responding to God? Because the only thing that will determine how your life turns out are the decisions that you make right now and your response to God right now. See, I shouldn't have the life that I have right now. I was never gifted enough or never talented enough in my life. I wasn't smart enough, but somehow by the grace of God, at a young age, I had parents that loved the Lord and they led me in the right direction. And I made some decisions. Look, I made some bad decisions along the way too. But thank God at a younger age, and it's not too late right now, I made some decisions at a younger age to follow Christ. I made decisions then that are helping me even now of how I respond to God, how I listen to God's voice. By the choices I made that helped me to do what's right. Tell someone do what's right. Let's break it down. I got 5 more minutes here. You're here today. You're at service at L3. We have another service going on, right? And I'm so glad you came. The music has already played. The sermon is almost over. And after, in just a minute, we're going to be having an altar service. And then you'll leave here. And you'll probably go eat. And we're going to go watch some football. Y'all know. My question is this. Through all of this that has taken place since you got here, how have you responded to God? Let's stop. Is that a good question, Wade? Is that important? Because to most of us, it's how's God going to respond to me today? What's he going to do for me today? Oh, I need a who needs a breakthrough? I need a breakthrough. It's okay, right? Who needs God to step in and give you some answers and maybe heal or restore or deliver? But the problem is we've got it so backwards. We drag ourselves in looking depressed, looking discouraged. You don't gotta fake it. You don't gotta look the part. God already knows. Okay? God already knows. And when you come in, and say, God, what are you gonna do for me today? What are you going to change in me today, Lord? And we think that if they play my song today, that song is moving me. Can I tell you the song was not made to move you? It was never made to move you. It may move you, but that song was not put together to stir your emotion. That song was put together to raise heaven, amen? And it was there to give God glory. We did not sing that song to you. The only song you're ever going to get sang to you is Happy Birthday once a year. That's it. That's all you get. But my God, where did we go wrong? Can I tell you that's why it's so easy for people who say that they're Christians to walk away from God and the church? Why? You made it about you. You have made this thing about you. I've done it so many times. Oh, it's about me, God. What can you do for me, Lord? And I'm in need. God already knows. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first. Come in here with an expectation to do nothing but give God glory. There'll be prayer time. There'll be petition time. There'll be letting your requests be made known to God time. But where in the world did we go wrong when we've made this whole thing about us? And the question is, after all is said and done at the end of this day, on another service on a Sunday morning at L3, how have you responded to God so far? Did you respond in your praise and your worship? Did you respond in your prayers to God? Did you respond in giving him glory? Are you responding by listening to what he's telling you right now? How are you responding? How did you respond all week long? Because I promise you, he was talking to you. He didn't stop. He didn't stop. His voice was going out. His word has been written for a long time. And how are you responding to that? What do you mean? Oh, there's still needy people out there. There's still a hurting world. You know this. Do we not know this? He said, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. We know that. Who knows that? Who's ever heard that? So it's been spoken to you and me. But if we know this and it's been spoken to us, how are we responding to these things? How are we responding to his word? How are we responding in our life? Job said, I'm going to make some choices at a young age. He said, because I know there's going to be a day that it'll be tested. And the Bible says in verse 6, it says, there came a day. Can I tell you, there will always come a day when the decisions that you make and the responses that you've made to God will be tested. It will be tested. Look at someone and tell them, say, there came a day. You may have had some of those days already. There might have already came a day or a week or a month. And there'll come another day. But how are you going to respond when that day comes? How are you going to act? See, what you do today in this house, because your day will come. How are you going to act? How are you going to respond? And what you do now and the decisions you make today in this room today will determine how you respond to tomorrow's crisis. I know so many people that have went through devastation of the loss of children. When they shouldn't have been burying their children, the children should have been burying them. And I've seen people through the years that have lost their children that were not grounded in the Word of God. And pain is still there. But they responded in a completely different way to couples that we know that were rooted and grounded in Christ and made decisions a long time ago, that when that crisis hit their life, doesn't mean the pain wasn't there, but how they responded made all the difference. We know people that have struggled financially and been through major crises and losses that didn't know Christ, and it was devastation, and it ended up in divorce in their life, and the loss of children that wouldn't even talk to them anymore, and they're still there today. But we also know people that have been hit with devastation, lost everything they had, but they rooted and grounded themselves in Christ, and they made decisions a long time ago. And because of that, you know what they said? Pretty much the same words as Job. When Job's wife said, "Curse God and die," you know what he said? "Naked I came into this world, naked I'll go out." He said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away." And I think he just got a smirk on his face. He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Bible says it restored to him many times over of what he even ever had in the beginning. But how he responded to God in his crisis made the difference in the outcome that was dictated for his tomorrow. Is this good? It sounds so simple, doesn't it? In other words, for us who have the mentality of a kid like me, if you listen in school, it will pay off for your tomorrow. So simple. We tell our kids this, but yet we don't listen to the word of God. We tell our children, pay attention, but yet we don't pay attention. I'm going to close with this story if I can get you guys just to come up. There's a man by the name of Carlos Hathcock. This was back in 1965. This man was known for being the best sharpshooter in the Marines. The story went on to say that no one could outshoot him, that he could shoot from over a mile away and hit the bullseye of a target. During Vietnam, they would take and the enemy would send out snipers, and there was one sniper that was picking off all the high-ranking officials and generals and sergeants and lieutenants. He would pick them off one by one. And so what they did is they went and they got Carlos, and they said, "Carlos, we need your help. We need you to find this guy. We need help trying to win this war, and we're stuck." So Carlos agreed, and he went out. He made the vow to do this, and he began to track this man step by step, stalking and hiding through the jungle. The story goes on to say how he would crawl through the jungle with all the leaves and the ghillie suit, isn't that what it's called? And he was waiting and waiting for days after days with little food and little water for just one little movement. One movement. All of a sudden, after sitting there for days, in the still of the day, in this jungle, Carlos said as he looked through his scope, he seen a glitter of light. And as soon as he did, he swung his scope around and shot at that spot, that glitter. And when he did, he had killed this sniper. From 100 yards away, and they investigated, and they went and found the sniper, only to find out that when Carlos had shot his rifle, that bullet had went all the way through the scope of the other man, right into his eye, sharpshooting. But how did this happen? He went on, they said, "Well, how did you make this happen? How did you make that shot?" He said, "Look," he says, "what I did it without hesitation." He said, "I must have just been the one that pulled the trigger first. Pulled the trigger first." In other words, the only thing that saved Carlos's life is that he pulled the trigger first, because if you could see a glimmer of light coming from someone's scope, that means that their scope is aimed directly at you too. How many of you know that the enemy has his crosshairs on you right now? And the only thing that will preserve your life is if you pull the trigger first. That's why in services like this right now, it's so important that you have to decide now, tell someone now, what you're going to do when temptation comes tomorrow. You have to decide now. You have to pull the trigger first. See, you're not going through it yet, but you don't know what tomorrow happens, what tomorrow holds, what tomorrow brings. You don't know if tomorrow you're going to be hit financially. You don't know if tomorrow you're going to be hit with something medically. You don't know if your parents will get sick, and you don't know if you may have creditors banging on your door. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But if you want to make the decision today and decide now and pull the trigger first, your tomorrow will be so much easier. How you respond to God now. If you could stand to your feet, I'm going to pray with you today. I believe that right now in this important part of this service, so important, just sing that real softly as I'm talking. Dim those lights for me if you don't mind too. Some of you might not have heard it when you first walked in, because we have some damage in our spiritual hearing. Somewhere along the way, through this sermon, the healer began to heal some of those areas. To where halfway through the sermon, maybe God was speaking to you and you felt it and you heard it. And you're wondering why every day when trials come and problems come, you feel so overwhelmed, and you feel so worrisome, and you feel so defeated. You don't have to feel that way. I don't care how big it is or how small it is. You determine by today's decision what tomorrow's actions and responses are going to be when it comes your way. And I pray that in this moment, in this service, right now, that you pull the trigger first. That you make the decision like Job did. That even though trials come your way and trials are going to come your way, that you make the right decision now of how you're going to respond to your tomorrow. God is speaking to you. With every head bowed, every eye closed.
You pick up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart.
Just be still and let God speak to you right now.
When I thought I lost
the enemy's going to try to confuse your mind with what you got to do afterward. He's going to try to confuse your mind with all your worries and your problems and try to tell you you're not good enough. This is just another service. No, God brought you here by divine appointment today. Why? Because he has something to tell you.
Pieces, put me back together.
Let him talk to you.
You are the defender of my heart.
And when I thought I lost me,
you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You pick up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart.
Amen, come on.
And when I thought I lost me,
you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You pick up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart.
Just for a minute, I know this might sound silly. Let's cut everything in this place. And let's see if just for a second we can just sit here and have the voice of God speak to us. It might not come in an audible way. But my prayer is that when we are in this moment of silence, that the Lord will reveal to you. Who needs that today? Come on, who needs a revelation in their life? The voice of God for direction, for security. So we're going to take a moment. I want God to speak to you. And I pray that God will give you the discernment to seek and make sure that you know that that's his voice speaking to you. Some of you in this room, just before we get to that moment, who, with every head bowed and every eye closed, who in this room right now, you're seeking a major decision in front of you, something that you need the voice of God to give you the answer or direction, and lift your hand. Amen. Amen. Okay, here's what's going to happen. God's about to tell you what to do. Do you believe that? I believe it today. He can tell you right now. There's no need for it to wait till tomorrow. But how you respond to him makes all the determination. Just for a moment, let's just sit in silence and let him speak to us. See, for some of us, that's difficult. It was hard. It seemed uncomfortable. Why? Because we haven't done that in a long time. How many of you, along with me, during that silent moment, there was your own voice going through your head, your own thoughts, and you wanted to get back into praying and talking to God about things and asking God for things or thinking of other things? And I'm not going to lie, I even had the picture of a pizza go through my mind. Happens many times a day. I think the devil put subliminal messages in my mind, Wade. Here's my point. You live in a chaotic world. And every problem that you have been through, if you do not give that to God, will torment your mind and bounce around in your head. Every worrisome thing will just surround you and try to take you down. Why? It's all put there to try to distract the voice of God. It's there to distract you from distinguishing the voice of God. God is speaking to you. You need his help? Amen? You want his direction? Slow down enough, dive in enough to the word of God to where you can delineate that it's him speaking to you. And what he's telling you. Oh, you will still face trouble, but you'll know how to overcome that trouble. When he says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, that means that you got to use him. Amen. His words. It's not talking about you. So if greater is he that is in me, I need to get he out. I need to get the word out. I need to speak the life over those situations. I need to be able to be on that frequency level when I can feel and hear the Holy Spirit talking to me. Amen? I'm going to pray over you. We're going to leave today. My prayer for you today is that we start taking this thing serious. We understand what needs to be done. And we do it. No more excuses. Come on, say it with me. Look to the heavens and say, no more excuses. I'm making a decision today, amen, that will help my tomorrow in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, Lord God. Lord, let us flip this thing upside down and get it right. We're not here for us. We're here for you. And Lord, we need to be in a closer and a better relationship with you. You're doing good, God. It's us that have failed. You have never left us, Lord God. We've walked away from you. You never stop speaking or responding to us, God. Some of us have just turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to what you're saying. We've walked away from the word. I pray that we dust our Bibles off. I pray that we prioritize, Lord God, and we get to know you again, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give him some